Rookie Thievers. Rookie Player Profile Edition.
Welcome back to Rookie Fever, another Rookie Fever player profile. I am back with John Lobb. So much fun our last time. Honestly, John, great time every time I talk to you. Had to get him back on. We're going to be talking about Kenny Pickett. We'll get into that. Fantasy football diehards, rookie big board, and the draft seminar.
Yes! Swag is the proud of himself.
At Gridiron Skull 91. Why can't somebody give John some money to buy the extra letters? What's wrong with Twitter, too? Like, why can't we just have more letters or less letters? I don't know.
You know, Swag, this is so funny. No one's ever asked me this story. When I originally jumped on, obviously I wanted Gridiron Skull, right? Which is still so bizarre, but that's another thing for another day. So I'm like, okay, I'll go, because then my natural instinct is always add a number, right? I'm like, okay, I got my master's in 91, so that's where the 91 comes from. So I said, let me do Gridiron Scholar number 91. There can't be 91 Gridiron Scholars on Twitter. And dude, it would not let me put it in. Like, I kept hitting the refresh button like a million times. You know, like, come on. And I finally, I'm like, what is wrong? Like, why would
too many numbers.
Yes, and then I took out the A and the R, and it let me go. So I'm like, all right, that's what I am.
Gonna roll with it.
I'm rolling. Dude, you hit the point where you're so frustrated with technology, and doing something new, so this is like 2014, right? I wasn't even on Twitter. I literally just signed up, right? And you reach a point like an hour and a half into this journey, you're like, okay, I don't care what it is right now. I just gotta finish.
Yep. And you're right. You're just kind of at that point getting on Twitter. You don't even realize it could matter someday.
No, I had no idea, dude. I remember I had like 10 followers. I was like, oh my God. 10 people want to know what I have that. To say.
I missed that. Kenny Pickett, Pittsburgh Panthers. They say it's a weak quarterback class, but you chose Kenny Pickett. Let them know why.
A couple reasons. We have seen this now in the last couple years. Kyler Murray, while people like Kyler Murray, the year he won Heisman and came to the NFL, he wasn't at the top of the draft board the summer before. Then we had Joe Burrow. He wasn't in any Debbie rankings or dynasty rankings. I remember my first waiver wire column of 2019, Joe Burrow was on 18% of college fantasy football rosters. Like, he was literally an afterthought everywhere, and he just got to the Super Bowl. Then we had Mac Jones and Zach Wilson last year. And I remember, you know, I was relatively on Jones as a college fantasy asset because he was playing at Alabama in the system and the scheme. Now, I did not expect him to blow up, but he ended up first round pick. You know, I liked Mac Jones last year in the draft. You know, you mentioned it on our last podcast. I'm a big Zach Wilson guy, right? So I said, well, the next player who has made that rise, even though I'm not in love with him as much as the others that we have just mentioned, and there's no way he's the first player off the board, but it is Kenny Pickett. My friend, if we recorded, I had a college fantasy football show. I did 9 drafts of college fantasy football last year. Pickett was only, he was a free agent also, like 12% of leagues. Hottest free agent very early in the year, Pickett. I did Debbie and Dynasty show Swag. I did mock Debbie and Dynasty drafts. No one had ever talked about Kenny Pickett as an NFL quarterback. Look at how pedestrian these numbers. Just to understand where we start and where we are. In 2020, Kenny Pickett, 13 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. 2019, 13 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. 2018, 12 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. No one saw this coming. I looked at the stats. I knew he was coming back. You plug him in, you're like, and I saw Pitt. He was the definition of average, right? I mean, there's 130 starting quarterbacks in the college football. You know, the definition. definition of average. But what did he do this year? 42 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. All of a sudden, Todd McShay by mid-October, number one quarterback in the draft, which I thought that was a little lofty at the time. But I wanted to bring him on because these players are important to understand. While he is clearly not going to be the top number one quarterback, like all those, you know, Zach Wilson was 2. What was Mac Jones? 15. Burrow was 1. Kyler Murray was 1. He's going to be a first-round pick. And good to understand who this prospect is and what can we expect from him in fantasy football, especially in super flex leagues. Because if he gets first-round draft capital, Swag, you mentioned it, you got to think about a player like him with first-round draft capital. So I said, let's talk about Kenny Pickett so our listeners know what to expect out of this prospect.
Yeah, I like it, man. It's tough for me to talk to you about this because I just keep wanting to know how you feel about Zach Wilson. But I'm gonna get away from it. I'm going to get away from it. And,
Swags is the guy who GPS tells him to go left, and Swags like, nah, we're going right.
Absolutely.
I got a better way.
I'm like, man, why does John keep talking about Zach Wilson? Let's hear how he feels about Zach Wilson. But you're absolutely right, though, because I remember getting Joe Burrow in Debbie leagues. He was available. There's always some of these players that slip through the cracks that just wind up being somewhat decent hits. So
I think Kenny Pickett will go there in the first round. Before we even go on, my concern, obviously, is the late breakout. He's going to be 24 when he first gets on the field. I think Zach Wilson played football in the NFL 21 this year. So Zach Wilson, if he gets to 24, will have 3 or 4 years in the NFL. So that's a major difference. And if you're one of those early breakout guys, you're not going to like Kenny Pickett. I get it. 2, I'm not worried about his hands. The gloves thing is a little bit more worrisome in some ways, I think, than the actual size of the hands, but that's okay. But I'll tell you this. When I plug him into my model, Swag, he only hits 2 of my 6 benchmarks because my model looks at career production. It does, so it takes into factor those very poor seasons that we talk about, not just touchdown interception ratio. Swag, everything else. Passing efficiency, yards per attempt, completion percentage are all very low. So when you look at him in the model, that's very concerning. That's why he's not my number one quarterback. But there is one thing I like in my model. He has 48 games played. I do think he can start from day one. He might not be great. He's going to make mistakes, but they all do. But I think this young man can step on the field and play football with confidence that he knows the playbook as well as a rookie can know. So that's my concern. But 48 games play, lots of numbers, and I cannot discount 42-7. The numbers were off the charts this year. He played great football. So this is where, like, I have a conundrum. We were talking on the other podcast, film production. My production model, Kenny Pickett, there's some questions here, which are legitimate questions. But when I watch the film of this year, I see massive improvement. I see NFL mobility, NFL escapability, and NFL arm. So he's got the tools of an NFL quarterback on film. Is he a perfect? No. If he was as good as Mac Jones, but I think he's in the Mac Jones bucket, and Mac Jones went 15th. Right? I mean, the only difference is Mac Jones went to Alabama, and I get it, won the national championship. That matters in my book. Not everything, but it matters. Kenny Pickett, but I'll give him credit. Pittsburgh's not been a very great football team. They won the ACC championship this year. He played good football for them. So, I mean, he's a first-round pick, my friend.
Yeah. I don't hate it at all. Like, especially when you're comping him a little bit to Mac Jones there. I mean, what Mac Jones did was pretty darn good from a rookie quarterback standpoint. I mean, he tied Dak Prescott's rookie record of 9 games in a row with, I think it was 70%.
Yeah.
And he's second to Dak in rookie completion percentage. So, I mean, quite a good season. Where do you feel like the consensus is on Pickett at this point?
Two or three. I do think there's a difference between the national media and the Twitterverse. The Twitterverse, yeah. I think, is a little below Kenny Pickett, because when you plug him into your model, you're not going to like it. Like, that's just a fact. And I've heard people say this. They never watch a football game. They're literally only doing things off a model, which I still don't know. I just love this game. How can you?
What changed to give him that season? What changed, do you think, to give him that season?
New coach, for one. Prolific offense. So if you watch college football like I do, one of the most important things is scheme. LSU changed the scheme for Burrow, and Burrow had Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson. Might be the greatest triplets in the history of – seriously. Like, yeah. I mean, when looking back, that might go down as the greatest three players ever on one college, and they won the national championship. I mean, they were that good, right? Burrow, think about that. Burrow, Justin Jefferson, and Ja'Marr Chase. That is insanity when you see what they're doing in the NFL. Alabama, Nick Saban. Remember when Alabama had Mark Ingram and Derrick Henry? I mean, they would run the ball, 70% of the time. They had the classic game manager quarterbacks. Not one of those guys ever made it at the pro level. And then Saban saw the future. And you know what? The SEC woke up. I've talked a lot about this on my college fantasy football podcast. Somehow, some way, about 7-8 years ago, the SEC said, oh, look at those spread offenses. What if we recruit top athletes and put them in the spread offense? Dude, that has changed college football. Because what has happened is when spread first came about, Urban Meyer was at Utah. Well, he used strategically the spread offense to overcome lack of athletes, right? I don't have great athletes at Utah. What do I have to do? I have to out-scheme them, out-think them. I'm going to put my athletes in one-on-one to win with speed. And he did it. What happened is Nick Saban, LSU, we just mentioned, Mississippi with Lane Kiffin, Mississippi State right now, Mike Leach. What have they done, Swags? They brought in these coaches, and what are they going to do? Throw the damn football. But the advantage is Utah cannot recruit Justin Jefferson. He's not going to go there. But guess what? You can get Justin Jefferson to Alabama, Mississippi, Mississippi State, LSU, right? So we have this perfect kind of meeting of scheme with the world's best athletes on a college football field. So what happened to Pittsburgh? Bring in a coach. What do? You put in the spread offense. Well, you get a little lucky. You have a quarterback who's an upperclassman. Start a whole lot of football games, my friend. He's knowledgeable. He knows what he's doing. But instead of handing it off, and then every time he's in 3rd and 8, he's got to complete a pass, also starting to throw the ball 20 yards on the field on 1st and 10. And if you don't know it yet, Pittsburgh had a player named Jordan Addison. And we might look back 5 years from now and say, oh, Jordan Addison was the man. He won the Biletnikoff. And every time I watch Kenny Pickett, I'll say, this is a little warning sign. Every time I see Kenny Pickett throwing a 35-yard touchdown, guess who it's to, Swags? Jordan Addison. Like, that kid is special. So I have him right now as my 4th best Devy wide receiver, because he's not as big as others. He's a little undersized, but he's special, dude. But you put him in, you get somehow Pitt got a great athlete because he was undersized, right? So he goes to maybe not that program that you would consider to be top shelf, right? He ends up there. Then you change the scheme, and everything just takes a blast off. It just rockets. And that's what Kenny Pickett. Now, the skills were always there, but but as analysts, a player is hampered by the scheme in which he plays in. Mm-hmm. So Kenny Pickett had no favors done in those old schemes that he was playing in before this year.
And so with that said, and because you said you think he's one of those players that could be ready to start day one if drafted into the right situation, where do you think he is ready for with the scheme that he was playing in his last year in Pittsburgh?
I have a hope that he ends up in Pittsburgh. I know it sounds too obvious, it's too easy, but you give me Mike Tomlin with that coaching staff, you give me Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool, Pat Freiermuth, Najee Harris. You know what you should do, Swag? Sign two free agents on the offensive line and draft three offensive linemen in picks 2, 3, and 4. Fix the line in free agency and in the draft. Go get your quarterback. See, I think Pickett, now, I'll say this. If Pickett goes to Carolina, let's take it to the absurd. Oh, almost zero interest. Zero interest. Coach might be on the way out. I don't like the organization. Not sure about the talent around him. But if he goes to Atlanta, that's interesting, my brother. Kyle Pitts, whatever they do with Calvin Ridley. You know, who they have Russell Gage. They have some hope there, right? I think he's dependent on the players around him. And let's say this, Swags. Would Mac Jones, and I've been thinking a lot about this, would Mac Jones have been this good in New York with the Jets as he is in New England?
Probably not.
No.
Mac Jones has a hell of a coach, and that could be completely underestimated.
Yes, and then would Zach Wilson be better if he landed Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. No question, dude.
And that's one thing people think of, forget about a lot, is even with Trevor Lawrence, is he was picked with a 101. That means he's going to a really crummy team. Same with Zach Wilson. They're going to really crummy teams. Yes. Hopefully, these teams can find ways to build around them as quickly as Joe Burrow. Because, I mean, Joe Burrow is probably as lucky in the NFL as he was with that wide receiver group that you mentioned in college. Like, it's insane to have Tyler Boyd be your crummy wide receiver on your team, and then you have T. Higgins and Jamar Chase. Like, that's insane. Dude,
I remember I had T. Higgins. I look back. I had him at number 3, Justin Jefferson at number 2. And people thought I was stone cold crazy on T. Higgins after his combine because it was just good. But I'm like, man, I can't throw out 3 years of film at Clemson because for a big receiver. And you're right. Guess what? Joe Burrow ended up with 2 studs. And look it. Higgins isn't as good as Chase. But damn, he's one hell of a number 2, brother. Right? Yeah. And then you got Tyler Boyd. Right? I mean, how much better can you get? Yeah. So I think now Pickett's nowhere near the prospect that Burrow was. But could Pickett do better on a team with talent around him? Yes. You know where I think is a depth spot that no one's talking about? I don't want anything to do with New Orleans, dude. I think they're a disaster just waiting to crumble. I think they're looking at the top 3. That thing's going to crumble. Sean Payton was great. Who knows what Michael people – you take Michael Thomas. I got rid of him last year. I got no shares. I'm with you there. What do they got?
Yeah.
What do they got?
Let's keep them in Pittsburgh then. That was a lot more fun. So, like, what are your realistic year one expectations for Pickett in that ideal landing spot?
I would say Mac Jones with more rushing and more rushing upside. He's a better runner than Mac Jones. Kenny Pickett is much more athletic than people give him credit for. What I like on film, and I wish I could quantify this in a number, but I think it's kind of buried in touchdown interception ratio, completion percentage, and passing efficiency. What that is, the ability to manipulate the pocket, to avoid the pass rush, but more important, to complete the pass on the run. That's what you've got to have out of the modern day quarterback. Joe Burrow isn't a prolific rusher, but if you remember the AFC Championship game, I think he had 3 or 4 rushing touchdowns that were unbelievably valuable. Eli Manning could not do that. Phillip Rivers could not do that. You don't have to be Lamar Jackson or Kyler Murray. But what you need in today's NFL, Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen special. Josh Allen's even better than those guys. I don't need that, but I do need a quarterback, and that's why I like Zach Wilson. I need a quarterback who can pick up the first down with his legs and, more importantly, can throw on the run, my friend. Kenny Pickett is very good at throwing the ball on the run. And how I measure that, Swags, he keeps his eyes downfield. There's like, if we were doing football like, you know, 15 years ago, Tim Tebow didn't keep his eyes downfield, dude. But he went out of the pocket. Tebow's looking for the open lane. Where's the open lane to run, right? He couldn't do it. Kenny Pickett has that modern skill that is so imperative. Hey, if that safety bites a yard, if that cornerback stops, and my receiver has the go route, which I think happened with Jordan Addison a lot. I think Jordan Addison, the way you design those offenses nowadays, you have a receiver on every pattern that's the go. And what that means is as soon as you see the quarterback run, your job, young man, you just go. You just go deep. I don't care where you are. You are the out pattern. You're the deep guy. And you can rotate those on every play. But you need that guy. And why do you have that guy? Because the great quarterbacks on the run are going to throw the ball to that guy because eyes are down the field. And by running, scrambling, you're sucking that safety or that cornerback or pausing a cornerback for half a second. That's all you need. Like, that's open. Yeah. That's open in the NFL, my friends.
Yeah.
And Kenny Pickett can throw the ball. And look, at when you have Deontay Johnson and Chase Claypool and Pat Freiermuth and you have Najee Harris, he can work those players. I mean, let's be honest. Ben Roethlisberger was awful this year.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he had an A dot, wasn't it? Like,
yeah. I absolutely agree. A lot of people, they keep saying, like, this is why they're fading certain players from the Steelers, because Ben's going to be gone. But he was awful. We knew it all season long.
I feel like
we mentioned a lot of, like, the quarterbacks from the 2021 class throughout this episode. I don't know if it was by design or not, but where would you rank him with that group? Because I feel like with the way the conversations went, I feel like most of the players – there's been a roundabout way of you still liking last year's class better than Pickett. I don't know if I'm.
Yeah, so there's no way Pickett is not ahead of Lawrence. He's not ahead of Zach Wilson. So that's already guaranteed. Let me think quickly off. Not ahead of Justin Fields. Interesting. Trey Lance, I had at 4, and Mac Jones had at 5. I would have probably. Jeez, you see, so this is a conundrum. Because I'll say this. I do give deference to winning a national championship. I think that matters. And you can't quantify that, but I do think it matters. Now, you don't want Gina Toretta. You know, you can't have no talent and win a national championship and be a first-round pick. So I would have probably had him behind Trey Lance. So it would have been a toss-up with him and Mac Jones because I would have given him the athletic ability upside. But Mac Jones won a championship. So I don't really know how I would, but he'd be right there. I think he still would have been a first-round pick, but 5 or 6 in the class.
I like it. So you still have Zach Wilson above Mac Jones?
Oh, yeah. Because I do not see the Patriots getting wide-open offense where Mac Jones is going to throw 40 touchdowns a year. Could happen. Anything's possible. I think they're going to run the ball, play defense, go back to Belichick's roots, right? Hey, Mac Jones won football games and he was productive. And that's all Bill Belichick wants out of his quarterback. I could be wrong, but they don't have the receivers. They don't even have the personnel right now. I mean, who are you throwing the ball? You look at their depth chart and you're like, oh my God, that's not very pretty out there in New England.
I think even Jacoby Myers may be a free agent.
Yeah. I mean, then N'Keal Harry's turned out to be one of the biggest busts, right? Mm-hmm. So, Zach Wilson, remember that long touchdown run, which was like the longest run, I think, of the season on the Jets, that touchdown? I think it was week 16 or 17. I don't know if you remember it. I think he had like a 48-yard touchdown, but you saw the athletic ability. And unfortunately, my best friend's a Jet fan. I feel bad for him. But what that does is I watch probably too many Jet games with him. And Zach Wilson played better football the second half.
Yeah,
he did. I saw growth in Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
So if they got another receiver, yes, I'm trying to buy Zach Wilson right now. Not having the best luck, but I would buy Zach Wilson in Superflex right now.
Yeah. And I mean, Elijah Moore, too, like we mentioned a little bit, but Elijah Moore wide receiver one, 28% of games played last year. So if we get a healthy Elijah Moore this year, I think that will be so great for Zach Wilson. I asked you on the last show we did together, who was your guy? Who is somebody you are absolutely staying away from in this 2022 class?
Oh, now you make it hard on me, my brother.
Well, that's because you're so nice. You're going to have to tell us somebody you don't like as much, John.
Yes, excellent question. So let me go to my rankings here, and let me see someone
bringing the heat
who I'm not as high on as what maybe the world loves right now. George Pickens, I would got probably a little lower on him. I have him at number 10 in my rankings right now. We just did the video breakdown of George Pickens. I am a little wary of the medicals at this point, and he only really played one season 2 years ago as a freshman. Yes, 6'3", 210 pounds, unbelievable size, frame. Like, he is a great wide receiver, but he hasn't really done it in 2 years. He played at Georgia, which isn't one of those prolific offenses. So I don't see, like, it's not like Jefferson and Jamar Chase, who are like NFL ready, having played in this kind of wide open, much more exciting game, ran more routes. I'm concerned about Pickens. The medicals are going to tell us everything. Is he a first round pick or is he a second round pick? If he's a third round pick, that means the medicals are bad, right? I mean, that means the NFL found some bad news. But I have him at number 10, and I've seen people as high as number 2 or 3 on George Pickens. Do I like him? Yes. But I'm probably not going to have a lot, because it was interesting. I wish I could, you know, you read so much stuff on the internet, and some good, some bad, right? But this one was interesting. Basically, it was a doctor who did research. Players who got injured in college tend to get injured in the NFL more often. Not exactly sure why that's true, but if you and that's one of the reasons why I like Jonathan Taylor. But his research said, if you have a major injury in college, that's going to affect your long-term career trajectory in the NFL. You're more likely to miss 4 or 5 games. You're more likely not to have other severe injury. You know, it was pretty much like his conclusion was healthy players in college tend to remain healthy players in the NFL. It was an interesting, and he did something like 20 years worth of data. So a guy like George Pickens would qualify, you know, ACL tear, you know, before his junior season, that definitely qualified. And I'm not talking like a bruised shoulder, but if you had like a pop shoulder, you know, a broken shoulder out for a long time. But he said his numbers basically said if you have injuries, they stay with you. So that's why I'm probably a little lower on George Pickens. Now, yes, is surgery better? Absolutely. Can you recover ACL better than 30 years ago? We were kids. ACL was basically the end of a running back's career, right? I remember Terry Allen with the Washington football team back then, now Commanders, when he came back and people were like, oh my God, Terry Allen returned from a knee injury, right? That never happened in the day. ACL, I should say. So Pickens is my guy who I'd be a little bit, I'm probably not going to be, unless I get a good value on.
Yeah, I like it. John, every now and then on Rookie Fever, actually almost every weekly show, we have a final thought. We throw it at them. I feel like the Gridiron Scholar would be a great person to give a final thought, maybe some life advice. You're somebody that I know I can jump in your DM anytime. I can talk about my family. I can tell you I'm maybe having a bad day. I feel like you would be a great guy for a final thought, John.
I would say one thing. Watch more college football. It'll make you a better NFL fantasy football expert and a better draft analyst. Watch more college football. Like, I mean, you didn't tell me you were going to ask me the question about what changed, and I was talking about the SEC doing the spread. I only knew that because I watched college football. I mean, you just see how these trends occur, and Nick Saban, who used to have, you know, round pound, What I like about Nick? I've actually grown – that's outside track for a second. I actually respect him even more because he's done what I think is incredible for any human being. Ah, here's a good life lesson. be willing to change. When I grew up, too many coaches were old school. They had a system. You know, if you were Bo Schembechler, Michigan, that was your system. That's what you were going to run, and you were never going to change that system. Great coaches change and grow and learn and adapt. Bill Belichick's done it. And I learned this very early, years ago, Swag, from Don Shula. Because if you watch Don Shula, very fascinating coach. In Miami, he won two Super Bowls with Larry Zonka, Jim Mercury, Ryan Greasy, the no-name defense, like literally winning games 21-13 constantly, really, you know, controlling the clock for 40 minutes. Then he drafted a young man named Dan Marino. And I'll never forget this quote, so I'm going to ask him, like, it was a reporter years ago, maybe in 88, 87, after Marino had been there for a while. And he's like, "Coach, how did you change your offense?" And I'm paraphrasing. He's like, "What am I going to do with the thoroughbred? Have him carry a cart? I got to let the thoroughbred out. I got to let him sprint. Dan Marino, you can't have him hand the ball off." Right? And Don Shula literally changed everything in his coaching style to adapt to Dan Marino's talents. And Nick Saban did that. And Bill Belichick did that. When he got Randy Moss and Wes Welker. And if you read, what book is it? I think it's called Education of a Coach. And in the biography, it's not an autobiography, it's a biography. They're talking about, the author's talking to Belichick, Ryan, and he said, "Why did you change? Why did you get Moss and Welker? What changed?" And he goes, "I saw what the Colts were doing with Reggie Wayne and Marvin Harrison, and I saw the rules on how they were kind of shackling cornerbacks. I knew I had to throw the ball." So what did he do? He adapted. He got Randy Moss, and he ended up with Wes Welker, Tom Brady, and the rest is history.
Yeah.
You have to adapt in life. You have to adapt in football. You have to be knowledgeable. I've said this for a long time. Probably about 6 years ago on the Football Diehards, I was doing an interview with them. They were like, "Why do you think wide receivers are better? Remember the old rule, it takes a wide receiver 3 years to make it in the NFL?"
Mm-hmm.
Especially from a fantasy perspective. I said, "It's simple. Watch what these kids are doing in high school. Pop Warner. Watch what they're doing in college. Why Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson are knocking out grand slams first year in the league. He's been running routes like this since he was 16. Swags, when we were kids, receivers were sitting out there one-on-one with no coaching. And literally right. The only, like, you had a route, run deep. Oh, I beat him, man. Beat him." Like, there was, now it's schemes, yeah. And you're looking for mismatches, putting a guy in motion. You know, we talked about Drake London on the last podcast, put a 6'5 guy in the slot. And these kids are running thousands, hundreds of thousands of routes, my friend, before they get to the NFL. And these young men can make immediate impact. But I saw that coming, and now it's just like, I don't even worry about a rookie receiver. So you might even agree with me. I think rookie receivers are the best value in redraft leagues there is in fantasy football. No one's
talking about. Redraft? Yeah, absolutely. If you get the right ones, like Waddle. Waddle was sitting on waivers last year for the taking. People didn't want – I mean, Amon-Ra St. Brown, we mentioned him, I think, the last time we were together. Sitting there for the taking. It's just, yeah, absolutely. I'm with you on that.
I bet you Julio Jones' ADP was higher than Jamar Chase's last year.
Probably, and, yeah.
I mean, the value is in the – because these young men are ready to come in the NFL, and the coaching staffs are better. They bring the guys in and say, "I'm not wasting this young man. I got the best talent on the field. I got to get the ball into his hands." Well, that wasn't happening 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Now it happens also. Adapt. Rookie wide receivers are no longer, they're like rookie running backs, dude. But we don't talk about them that way, which is bizarre.
Yeah. No, I love it. And I think that was a great final thought. It is a learning journey, and do not be afraid to take that adventure. John, tell them everywhere. Again, this is your chance, your big moment. Plug away.
Thanks, man. I can't thank you. Two shows this year. I love your show, Swag. It's a pleasure to come on. You know, I think in my fourth or fifth year with you, I think it's the third year doing these shows. I love it. Find me on Twitter at GridironScholar91, everyone. I couldn't afford the A and the R. If you want my written profiles for the 9th year in a row, they are up on FootballDieHard.com, including my prediction model, my scouting report, my breakdown. They're all there for free. Check them out. And then go to YouTube, type in Rookie Big Board Channel.
Yes.
And you're going to see our player previews of our draft seminar shows with my teammate Matt Hicks. Right now we have 16 players up there. We put up 4 new ones every week, everyone.
Yeah, see, and you laugh at me, but even you tripped up on the draft seminar that time. You're alive. It's a mouthful.
It's a mouthful, a ton.
Yeah, man. I appreciate you a ton, as always. I'm at Swag00G. This is at Rookie Fever, and we are out.
Who got the 101 scouting? It's never done this stupid fool and run. I told you anyone. Size and speed just on real landing spot. Not ideal. Wait, what's this breakout? It's full Rookie Fever stage.
Romeo loved Juliet. Juliet, she felt the same. When he pulled his arms around her, he said, Julie, baby, you're my flame. Wow, give a fever. When we kiss it, fever with that flame in you. Fever, I'm a fire. Fever, yeah, I burn for soon.
So who's got the fever? Cause I got the fever. Now you got the fever. So she got the fever. And he got the fever. No cure for the fever. So let's feed the fever. Thank God for the fever. Thank God for the fever.
What a lovely way to burn.
Now you got the fever. Now you got the fever. Now you got the fever. Now.